Do you know what's worth fighting for? When it's not worth dying for? Does it take your breath away and you feel yourself suffocating? Does the pain weigh out the pride and you look for a place to hide? Did someone
from isolation, as it is every week here on the show.
Oh God, I'm so sorry, listeners.
I was gonna say, what the fuck just happened? Dumped your mic.
My mic fell over. I realized that my fan was on, so I was going to stealthily turn that off. Yeah. And
you pulled a Lindsay.
I don't know exactly what happened, but the point is my microphone fell over.
Well, that's a great way to start the show. All right. Yeah. Well, welcome to Podzilla 1985, Podzilla After Dark. Here in the Podzilla 1985 podcast, what's up, guys? It's me, Shannon Young, your host for tonight, also known as the Phoenix, because I rise from the ashes. Here with me, of course, the co-owner of Podzilla 1985 and my very good friend, Jesse Kimball.
Eater, hoarder.
And then we've got coloring a what appears to be small fairy child.
It's from Rainbow Bright. Her name is Moonglow.
It's Moonglow. We've got the one and only... the Wicked Witch of Podzilla 1985, Lindsay Wolfgang.
Okay, we have changed my title.
That's a pretty badass nickname.
That's a good one.
I go from the Queen to the Wicked Witch.
I think the Wicked Witch of Podzilla 1985 actually sounds pretty badass.
It actually really does.
I have the cackle.
You do have the cackle. You have the worst laugh of any girl I've ever met in my life.
So mean.
And you know, do you want honesty or do you want me to, you know... Go ahead, Jesse. Well, I'm not saying she's bad. I'm just saying her laugh is like the sound of 1,000 dying cats.
At least it's not what a fake laugh. What the hell?
It's not what?
At least it's not a fake laugh.
It is sometimes. You don't have that laugh that Cass had. Cass had that I'm dying on the inside laugh. It's that laugh that you start laughing and you make the motions for it, but no sound comes out.
I call it the retail laugh.
The retail laugh.
It's that fake ass laugh that every like long time retail employee
Pat's
knows
laugh?
How to put on.
What'd you say, Lance?
Pat's laugh.
No, Pat's laugh. Pat's laugh was very specific. Pat.
No, okay. Pat had the retail laugh, and when I remember the first time, and I think Pat listens to this show, he might get a kick out of this. I don't know. The first time I ever heard Pat actually lose his shit. I introduced him to, I can't remember the name of the guy that sings it. I whooped Batman's ass guy.
Oh, I don't think I've ever heard
his name.
Have you ever heard the song, I Whooped Batman's Ass? Yeah, I'm getting a nod from the peanut gallery in the back.
I'm trying to remember.
I guess Lindsay, you and I aren't born from the internet enough.
Wesley Willis.
Wesley Willis.
That's some good alliteration.
All right, so now it's important to note that this stuff is awful. Like, this dude is bad. However, it is hilarious. Like, the whole thing is really funny. And I thought it was pretty funny. And then, like, I started playing some for Pat, like, when we were closing GameStop one night. And I thought he was gonna die. Like, he couldn't breathe. He was laughing so hard. And it was the first time I ever really heard Pat laugh a lot. And I was like, well, that's different.
It was almost scary in a way, wasn't it?
Like a little bit, in that like he was kind of choking.
And Jesse,
and he got real high pitched with it. It was really funny.
Jesse, it's gonna be a rough show tonight.
Oh, why is that?
We got some serious topics that we're gonna talk about here tonight. But before we do, I want to send out. We actually have two birthdays to two listeners of the show today. I want to send a special happy birthday out to.
Okay.
Go on.
I was waiting for your confirmation. We got actually here with us in the peanut gallery, in my peanut gallery, Lindsay and I's peanut gallery, longtime listener, first time caller, a good friend of the show, Maria. It's her birthday. Happy birthday, Maria. And Tanner's wife, Brandy. It's her birthday today.
Oh, yeah.
So
Brandy's also.
I want to send a special shout out to those two. very good friends of the show, and say happy birthday to you guys. And hopefully that will make up for any terrible things we say today. Yeah. Anywho. Hey, can you hear me?
We're not going to say anything too terrible. It'll be all right.
I think my new favorite end joke with the show is because we record these remotely now. We're no longer in the same room with each other. Well, except Lindsay and I. We're staring down each other. Her beady eyes looking seriously
and
suggestively at the markers laid out in front of her.
That's because they're not going back in their spots properly, and it's angering me.
Her lips flapped up and down as she angrily expressed her frustration at the markers in front of her. She struggled with the pink one, unable to get it to fit inside of the small hole that she had made for herself in the marker box.
You need to stop.
That honestly, like... Someone somewhere is like a little aroused about the pink marker going into the hole that she created.
And yeah. I don't want to know.
Yeah, I think I just I think I made porn.
And it's probably Dalton, if I had to guess.
Well, he is into the wet stuff.
Exactly.
Anywho, right before the show, we were talking about music. And I want to share with our listeners, if you've never listened to the band before, I highly recommend listening to the band Cradle of Filth. But I only recommend you listen to their music. And when the singer starts singing, you mute it. Once you see his mouth stop moving, you unmute it. And then you go from there. Some good music. Do you remember the first Resident Evil soundtrack?
I do.
They had a song on there called Nymphetamine. It was their most popular song. It's the only song I've ever heard by the group where he is tolerable. And I would have made it the song for the intro tonight, but I have a very specific song I wanted to put on here. Although now, I expected the intro to be a lot more somber than it's been, so now I feel like it probably wouldn't fit. So maybe I'll use Nymphetamine instead. No, that just sounds bad.
Yeah. Because I honestly cannot recommend this band that Shannon's trying to get you guys to listen to. I really can't. Because it's like they... so you know in like the screamo like half metal bands where you have the guy that kind of growls in the background and like says a couple words,
like
somebody decided to give that guy the lead singer job.
Yeah, but they also dressed him like a reject from the set of the original Crow film.
Yeah, like he was definitely one of the rejected designs for the Crow costume.
Where will you be when they... I can't even do it. It hurts my throat too bad.
It's so
weird.
That's
why I don't understand how people can sing that way and not destroy their vocal cords.
They do destroy their vocal cords.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, someone once told me that a band that I enjoy, Bring Me the Horizon, that their stuff used to be way more screamy and screamo, but he hurt his vocal cords so bad that he had to readjust the way he sang, and that's why they have like that new sound.
Yeah, that's also, for some metal singers that keep doing it, it ends up making them better at the growl, but they can't do anything else, and it also causes them, you know, a great deal of pain. But even, Claudio, like in Coheed and Cambria, you can hear a distinct difference in how he sings in his earlier albums versus now.
Oh, yeah, his singing in his earlier albums was way more high-pitched.
Yeah, like he got, which, I mean, it's a different kind of, like, strain on his vocal cords, but yeah... He still did a lot of, I wouldn't say yelling, but a lot of, like, kind of higher singing. And
if you go back to their first album, what was the name of their first album? Second Stage Turbine Blade. He does way more of that, like, growly screaming in his songs in that one than I think he did in any other album.
Yeah, for sure. He also didn't do a lot of like the screaming stuff. There was somebody else in the band that did that, which live in person is always interesting.
Wasn't it their original bassist, the one that left the band?
Yeah, and then he came back because I think he's doing it again.
No, that was the drummer.
The drummer, yeah,
that was the drummer. That was Josh, I think is his name. I forget this guy's name. This is the guy that got caught robbing the Walgreens for drugs, and they kicked him out of the band for it.
Yeah, that sounds right. But they have another guy. They have another guy that does the screaming stuff. Because the concert that me and Cody went to, I want to say it was their bassist was doing the screaming. I really wish that I knew more members of the band, and I really should know more members of the band.
Well, I know, so I know the lead singer, Claudio Sanchez, obviously. I think the drummer's name is Josh Eppard, or Eppard, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Yes.
And the other guitarist, like the main guitarist, I can't remember his name. Travis? No, Travis was the bassist, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that was the one that got arrested, wasn't it?
I think so, but he's super talented. He also has a side band like Claudio has with the Prize Fighter Inferno, but I can't remember what the name of his side band is.
Yeah, because it's really dirty.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, the name of it is really dirty. I don't remember. Claudio's name in the band is Dirty Sanchez.
Jesus Christ.
If I remember right.
I would call the band the Pecan Sandies. Because it's you know, it's clean, but it has a second meaning, like a sexual meaning, you know.
So I actually did make a fantasy football team in my family league. I named it the Pecan Sandies. My mom, not getting the joke, named her team the Snickerdoodles. And then her husband made his the Fig Newtons.
It's sad, but it sounds progressively dirtier as it goes along.
I know, right?
Well, as we often do here on Thursday, Jesse, I do have a motherfucker of the week.
Oh boy.
Only one?
Well, you know what?
It could be a collective.
Yeah, the motherfucker of the week this week is
Fire for a couple reasons.
We actually mentioned it last night on the show. And let me find it real quick.
I apparently didn't pay attention to that part, though, because I actually did listen to your guys' show today.
Let me see.
By the way, Travis Stever's side band is Fire Deuce.
Okay.
And I was wrong. So Joey Eppard is in it, which is Josh's brother, as the he does guitar, bass, and vocals. J.E. Douche. Travis Stever is the Cleveland Stever.
That's the one I was thinking of, yeah.
Yeah. And then Claudio's name in it is actually Clyde Dirty Deuce.
Jesus Christ. Well, my motherfucker of the week this week, Jesse, is Linda Hogan.
Linda Hogan. Oh, okay, yeah, I did what listen she do. To.
So let me give you the backstory on Linda Hogan, because this is probably the funniest part.
Is she the one that got into a fight with Ice-T on Twitter?
Maybe. I don't know. Linda Hogan is the ex-wife of Hulk Hogan. Here's the funny part about that, and we mentioned it on the show last night. If you don't listen to Pro Wrestling Unscripted, let that sink in for just a second. She goes by the name Linda Hogan. She's using her ex-husband's fake last name.
Yep.
That is hilarious. In itself is hilarious to me. That you're using your ex-husband, who you divorced and like took all of his money, you're using his fake last name to get attention. That should tell you what kind of quality person we're working with here.
Neat.
But the reason, and hold on, Tanner's going to jump in the show here when the series stuff's over.
My bad. Nicole Arbor is the one that got into a Twitter fight with Ice-T.
Yeah, yeah. And
I don't know if you saw that, but that was hilarious.
I did, and Nicole Arbor's a piece of shit. I fucking hate her.
She actually deleted all of her tweets.
She's the one. Do you remember the person that did the Dear Fat People video?
Yeah.
Same bitch. She's been motherfucker of the week before. So
fuck that bitch. Yeah, she got into a Twitter fight, called Ice-T an old man and all this other shit, and Ice-T was like, who the fuck are you?
But Linda Hogan, the reason she put out a tweet that says, watching the looting, it's all Afro-Americans. Not sure how robbing and stealing set the record straight, but if they want to be heard, they need to be civilized.
Jesus Christ. I saw quite a few videos of white folks looting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I don't think you should, if you're going to refer to a specific race when you complain, maybe not put they need to be civilized, because that very much makes you sound like you're saying they're not a civilized people.
Yeah.
She is just a garbage bag stacked in a dumpster fire. It's absolutely terrible, and fuck Linda Hogan. And I'm the only one that would say that, because I don't think anyone wants to. She looks like an old Barbie doll left out in the sun too long.
Ew.
I'm curious, I'm looking her up. I want to see this old sun-scorched Barbie.
She looks like, I mean, she looks like a, if they made a porn star Barbie, but the porn star Barbie with the giant fake breasts and giant fake lips, and then they left her in the microwave a little too long, that would be what Linda Hogan looks like.
Jesus.
So basically a Barbie that didn't survive the testing process.
Instead of aging gracefully, she's aging into a blobfish.
Fuck. Like, oh, man. Ugh. So.
Yeah, that's gross.
So I didn't know how I wanted to approach tonight when it came to talking about the serious stuff, because as much as I want to dedicate an entire show to something that I am very passionate about and I think a lot of us are passionate about, I also don't want to devote an entire show to it, because part of what we do on Podzilla 1985 is we provide entertainment. We provide an escape for people that are hurting or that want to listen to something that doesn't always make them feel terrible. But I also feel like it's extremely important that you educate yourself on what's happening out in the world today.
Yes.
So here's what we're going to say. As of right now, they have arrested, if you've been paying attention to the George Floyd case, they arrested the officer that put his knee on George Floyd's neck for almost 9 minutes, 2 minutes plus after he was already unconscious and dead.
In 100% fairness, he wasn't.
What's that?
In 100% fairness, he was not dead.
No, he was unresponsive.
He was unconscious.
Right.
Derek did kill him, because I think that's the guy's name. I've been calling him Derek Dickhead because I like alliteration.
I think it's Derek Chauvin is how you pronounce it. I honestly don't know.
Derek Dickhead killed that man. But yeah, I just want to be 100% on the record. He was technically still alive because EMTs grabbed him.
Right.
He was very much unresponsive.
Did I read they charged three more?
Yeah, they officers? Charged the other three officers today aiding and abetting of him. And then they upgraded his charge to second degree murder.
Yes.
I want to say something that is probably not a bold statement, but I think it needs to be said. When, for people that are asking, and myself included, I also asked this, what are the point of these riots? And I didn't mean that in a, this is pointless, you guys shouldn't be doing this way. It's just, I'm a little older than everybody else here. I've lived through a lot of this stuff. I lived through the LA riots. I lived through the Rodney King beatings. I lived through the Michael Brown stuff, Philando Castile, all these people that you and I, Jesse, have talked about many, many times. And there's always a murder, there's always outrage, there's always a protest, and nothing ever really happens. Well, I feel like something different has happened this time, because not only has all 50 states joined in the protesting.
And several countries.
And several other countries. Yeah. Absolutely. John, I always say, is it Boyega?
Boyega,
thank you. John Boyega gave an impassioned speech in London and said he did not care if this ruined his career. He might not have a career when this is over. And Lucasfilm actually tweeted out a thank you to him and said he's their hero. So that was very, very cool.
Yes.
But when you ask what are the point of these protests, and keep in mind I am saying protest, not rioting or looting, I truly believe that if we had not done this, if the people had not joined together to do this, I truly believe they would not have charged those officers with those crimes.
Oh, absolutely. They definitely would not have. This definitely created the pressure on, the police force in general, the mayor and everything else, to actually seek justice here, because, it would have been just like all the other times before. How many times have we had a situation like this where the cop just ended up getting a paid vacation and then actually went back to his job at the end of it?
Well, see, I feel like even if they hadn't protested, even if they hadn't protested this one, I truly believe that they would have fired those officers anyway. And I think they would have fired those officers anyway because they knew something would happen. I don't think they quite really estimated the strength of these protests and the unity from them. So I think they would have fired those officers no matter what. But the charging them, I truly believe that is change created from the protests and from the peaceful demonstrations. Now, the problem with it is there are so many situations where the protests have turned into rioting. They've turned into looting. And I've always been of the mindset, and I'm still of the mindset, that it doesn't help the cause when you are doing that. When you're destroying things, Richard Nixon famously ran on a Law and Order ticket and won because he was appealing to the people that didn't march and didn't loot. And that really helped him win his election. And I'm afraid that a similar thing is going to happen with Donald Trump.
Same.
But not only that, and I hate to be the guy that said not only that, but when it comes to this stuff, I can't even tell anymore who is actually a rioter at this point, who's a looter, and who are bad actors. Who are these people that are infiltrating this? The Antifa people, the white supremacists even, who are going to these protests and these rallies and actually joining in and causing trouble just to... make everyone else look bad. You've seen the videos, right?
Yeah, I mean, on top of that, there are actual videos of... Because I've seen videos of white supremacists, like, instigating violence. They're trying to get in with a bunch of protesters, like, actively, like, smacking down their masks, yelling, fuck you in their face, and all this other stuff. I've seen videos of police officers planting weapons and bricks and trying to incite violence so that they will have an excuse to shoot. I have seen police officers. I saw today basically a goddamn firing squad go after somebody that tossed water on a police officer.
I saw a truck. I forget the exact truck, but it was almost like a SWAT vehicle. And the officer driving it told the protesters, "If you don't move, you will be dead." And these are not protesters that are causing trouble. These are peaceful protesters. It's getting to a point, even the family of George Floyd and a lot of prominent people in the community are asking that the violence stop, that the looting stops. I'm not going to say that 100% of the people that are doing the bad stuff are bad actors. I know that there are a lot of people, and this saddens me to say, there are so many people out there that are using this as an excuse to steal. They're using this as an excuse to take things. They're exploiting the death of an innocent man. And that is absolutely sickening, too. I want to say that. I don't agree with that. I saw a guy. So you've probably seen the picture, too. It's people are at Target. One guy's got a TV he's running out with. And then there's this white motherfucker running out with a Lego set.
Yeah.
Are you serious? You robbed Target during a protest to steal a Lego set?
I mean, those Lego sets are expensive, dog.
I know they are, but there's no, that's not an excuse.
No, like, for real, though, like, I do want to make it clear that that despite the fact that the rioting and the looting is probably 70% of what we're seeing in the news, that's maybe 2%, maybe. Like, that's being generous.
Yeah.
2% of what's actually going on out there.
Oh, my God. And what's frustrating about that to me, you know me, I've talked about this a million times, the media... How the media spins things, and you cannot trust mainstream media. I know that is something that the fucking Fox News alt-right has stolen and said, you can't trust the media, you can only trust us, which is a complete lie. But what really trips me out about this is the same people that say you can't trust the media, they spin everything, are using the videos from the media about the rioters to say this is what's happening all over the place. Yep. So when they talk ill of Donald Trump, it's spin, and you can't trust them. But when it's pushing a belief that they already have, it's absolute fact, and look how terrible these people are. Like Linda Hogan said, it's all Afro-Americans, and they're being uncivilized.
Yeah, no, it's bonkers. Like, it's terrible. And I really wish, because I know, like, Fox News, you mentioned that one, is definitely the one that is portraying this most as, like, you know, these are a bunch of thugs out here rioting and looting. That's all they're doing. They're not doing any good.
Well, the president,
like,
too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Like, don't even get me started on how Trump is handling this. He could not possibly handle this worse than he is.
You say that, and I absolutely agree with you. Trump is handling it terribly. He is threatening to shoot. Well, he threatened to shoot looters, but again, I've said this before. When you invoke the words of a racist from the '60s to try to create peace in the United States, that is just a terrible idea. He's organizing the military to go against innocent protesters. It's bad. However, that is looking at it from our point of view as independent people who just hate injustice. But if you look at it from a historical point of view, and I was reading this on CNN earlier today, which is fake news, you can't really trust it, whatever. There are a lot of African-American people in the political system and in the political atmosphere that are worried that even though Trump is doing this, he is actually creating a way to win the election in November, just like Richard Nixon did, where he will appeal to the people who are scared of what they're seeing on Fox News. And as much as I hate to say it, it is a good strategy that could pay off for him.
We just really have to hope that Trump is also, the Republicans in general are big into voter suppression. Like, that's it's just been a thing for a while. The Republicans are dead set that if more people are allowed to vote, that's bad for Republicans, which is why Trump has gone ham on the mail-in vote or mail-in ballots thing. Tucker Carlson, I think, has been going ham on that too. Like, yeah. It's
Judge Dineen, all of the all the people that keep your grandparents in fear.
And they're talking about mail-in voting like it's something that we just created in the last like decade, when in reality we've been doing it for 200 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think John Oliver had a fantastic story about it this week on Last Week Tonight. Yeah, go check that out.
Absolutely did. Yeah, that's where I'm pulling this info from.
Oh, sweet, sweet.
So yeah, it's absolutely a great video, and yeah, like that's a legitimate problem. Like I'm hoping though that this year people with all of this stuff going on, they actually get out and vote, because that was a lot of the problem that we had with Trump. Because as we talked about, you know, numerous times before, Trump lost that election. Like I know that he is in office, and people keep saying
still lost.
Yeah, people keep saying like, no, the country voted him in. That's what's important. Like, no, the country didn't. The country voted Hillary Clinton. She had the majority vote, but because of, you know, at this point years of redistricting and gerrymandering and all this other nonsense, that like they're just they got in with a minority.
And that's, I think that is the most important thing, and I truly believe that we changed the course of history. And I say we. I haven't done anything. I'm talking about the people that go out there and protest, that have stood up for what they believe in. I haven't done jack shit. I was going to go to the protest on Sunday, and I chickened out for personal reasons I won't get into right now. But I do support the cause. And, you know, I know that sound, I feel like an asshole saying that, because I want to do more. And our very own Cody Sandusky, who did go to the protest on Sunday, very much, he said to me and encouraged us all, you have a platform to talk about it. Use your platform to talk about it. Use your voice. That is what I'm good at. I could go out and protest with everybody else, and I'd love to do it. But at the same time, not everybody has a podcast that reaches a global amount of people. So that's what we're doing right now. I truly believe that we created change whenever we got these officers charged. They got these officers charged. I'm sorry, I keep putting myself in there. But what's really going to create change is doing it at the polls.
Yes.
There is absolutely no reason that if there are so many people outraged about this, that every single one of those people that can vote should vote in November. If you believe strongly in something, whichever way you believe, get out and vote, and don't just sit idly by and watch what happens and then go, man, what happened?
Yeah.
Because that was a lot of what we've talked it to death. There are so many factors that went into just people not showing up and voting. Everybody thought like, all right, well, Hillary's got this in the bag, I don't have to get out there. Meanwhile, no, Trump supporters were out in force, like, every single vote matters. This is the only way, you know, our glorious leader is going to win. So, yeah, they were out in force. Hillary supporters weren't. You had, you know, again, like I talked about the gerrymandering, you had... the Midwest was largely left just untouched. Trump hit that super hard.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, he won a bunch of swing states that way.
Well, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's frustrating. Because I know I had a lot of friends that were talking about, like, or I say friends, there are a lot of people that used to be on my Facebook that kept talking about how, like, you know, I'm not going to go out and vote because both of these options are terrible. And, you know, that's fine if that's your opinion. Like, both options are terrible. Go out and vote for the less terrible one.
Exactly.
I still remember Calvin's parents saying that you can't vote for Hillary because she's so crooked. And when pressed on why, the answer was just, well, she just is.
Well, she's the butcher of Benghazi.
She's the butcher of Benghazi, absolutely. Her husband had sex with an intern.
Shannon, did you read those emails?
I couldn't read the emails, Jesse. She deleted them. That tricky bitch.
She deleted them all.
Couldn't do anything about it. If you look at the polls and you see what percentage of the United States, of the citizens of the United States, are against Trump in some of his tactics, you will see that a majority of America agrees with better gun control. They agree with, you know, the end of police brutality and stuff like that. If so many people are on the same side about this, then how the hell does he have a chance to win in November? And yet at the same time, I am fairly confident he's going to win in November. I hate to say that.
Because our system keeps failing us.
No, it's because the people keep failing too. You cannot be outraged by this and not go vote in November. If you go out in March, if you get on Twitter like I do and run your mouth like an asshole, and you don't go out and vote in November, you have failed. You have failed the country. You have failed the people that have died. You have to exercise your right to vote. It is the only way to create change.
Yes. Go out.
Okay.
Vote. For the love and of God.
With that said, I also want to say, and I can't speak for everybody on the show, but I am speaking for myself, and I will speak for everyone on the show unless they want to speak up and say I'm wrong. We absolutely support the protesters out there that are peacefully doing their thing and that are marching for justice. We are with you, just yes. So you know.
100%. Like, I really wish that, because I also wasn't able to, I say I wasn't able to, I didn't go to the protest on Sunday because I am terrified of COVID-19, and a large cluster of people is terrifying to me. I don't even like going to the grocery store if I can help it. I'm in and out. I've got my mask on, and I know that doesn't do me much good because nobody else is wearing a mask, or if they are, they've got the goddamn thing below their nose. I terrified of COVID-19.
Well, the good thing is, Cody said that 90% of the people that were there were wearing masks. So, you know, if you're going to go out there in March, be safe, absolutely. Look it up online. Know your rights. It's troubling times. Be safe. Don't provoke. And I know that's hard to say because I want to provoke. But I don't.
Well,
but
I will say, at least here in Cape, the protests went peacefully.
That's what I heard everyone, too.
There's no problems. And that goes back to what I was talking about before. Like, 90% of the protests going on in the country, more than, are peaceful. I even saw one earlier today. It was a protest in Nebraska. Shannon, did you see this?
No.
So the protesters in Omaha, Nebraska, they actually got local lawmakers to agree on changes for law enforcement. Basically to add some more accountability and everything else, like to kind of get everybody happy. Once they passed those changes, police officers and protesters alike all got together, and hundreds of them did the Cupid Shuffle.
I think I saw that video.
Okay.
Like, well, there was just, like, parking lots full of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limit and say, what the hell is the Cupid Shuffle?
It's like a...
Have you never been to a large gathering of white people?
It's like a...
I haven't, country actually.
Western line dance type.
Oh, it's definitely not country thingy. Western. But okay, it's
the one I saw honestly looked like they were doing line.
Well, yeah, it is a line dance sort of, but it's kind of a line dance in the way that the cha-cha slide is a line dance. Another song that plays at every large gathering of white people.
I know what the Okie Dokie Shuffle is, but that's about it.
God. Does There's Maria six people over there out there that know what the Cupid Shuffle is?
Let me double check with her. Maria, do you know what the OK Cupid Shuffle is?
There's no OK Shuffle.
White people gatherings is what Jesse's saying. Anytime there's a large mass gathering of white people.
Yeah, no.
Can you please stand up and demonstrate it for me? Can you get up and do the Okie Dokie Shuffle? What is it?
The Cupid Shuffle.
The Cupid Shuffle. I'm sorry. I'll look up an instructional video about it.
I'll just listen to the song. It's got all the instructions right there.
But I'll tell you someone that definitely knows how to do the OK Cupid Shuffle, and we're going to bring him in now as we wrap up our conversation about the riots and the things that are happening in America right now. And also, I want to mention, real quick before we bring him in, here's what I'm afraid of. Here's what I'm afraid of. We marched. I say it because I think we're all in this together. So if I'm going to just keep saying we because we're all in this fight together. We marched. We protested. We got on Twitter and bitched. We got these officers arrested. Here's what I'm afraid of. When they are found not guilty. Because if it was just a matter of, oh, we got these guys on video doing something terrible, then the guy that killed Eric Garner would be in jail. The cops that beat Rodney King would be in jail. All of these people that did these things would be in jail because they were caught on camera doing something unspeakable. And yet the amount, the percentage of police officers that are arrested for, like, police brutality, especially when it comes to killing, is so shockingly small. The ones that are convicted, it will make your head spin.
Oh, yeah.
So
the hope is that the trial goes as though they were actual citizens of the United States and not police officers with special circumstances, because that's how every other person has gotten off.
That's what I hope too. And I'm just saying this now. If you think, If you think that what's happening in America right now is bad, America will burn if those officers are found not guilty, especially Derek Dickhead.
The percentage of riots to peaceful, or the ratio of riots to peaceful protests, is going to swing wildly.
Yeah, and that is not a threat, by the way, if any government entity is listening. That's not a threat. That is a promise.
That's just what's going to happen.
when you do this enough and you tell people that their lives are not important enough, what do you expect them to do?
Yeah.
At what point does peaceful protests and standing up for what you believe in turn into violence and death? It's because when people are pushed too far, that is what they will do. They feel like they have no voice and they will be heard. There was a person that was protesting, and it may have even been a rioter. I don't know for sure. I don't want to give bad info. But he held up a sign that said, "Do you hear us now? If you think it's bad now, if this cop gets off on some bullshit technicality," because even the people I know that don't agree with the protests or don't agree with what's happening, even they say he straight up murdered that guy.
Oh, yeah.
So if he gets away with this, America will burn. That is all I'm saying.
Derek Dickhead's going to jail. He's got to.
If he doesn't, this country is fucked.
Yeah, the other three, he's going to jail for murder. The other three... Like, I understand, like, you know, maybe, like, a first offense or whatever, they end up with community service or, you know, maybe a few months in jail. Like, they should get more, but, like, you know, that's likely all they'll get. I'm still okay with that. But Derek Dickhead goes to jail for murder. He has to.
Because
he murdered him on camera.
I hope you're right, and we are going to pay attention and see what happens, and, man, I hope the right things happen this time. All right.
Because it's not going to stay peaceful forever. Like, it's gone from, you know, some NFL players kneeling at football games, like, as peaceful as it could possibly get, it's going to get so much worse if shit isn't taken care of.
And, you know, I feel bad for, and I know we're going to bring him in. I swear to God, we're going to bring you in just one second. I just want to say this. I do feel bad for a lot of the military and the police officers that are out there being forced by the president to basically, I don't want to say martial law, that's not it, but they're being forced to go out there and face off against these protesters. And there are a bunch of them that are being completely over the top with what they're doing. I think you've seen the one of the protester who had his hands up and the police officer walked up to him, pulled his mask down, and then sprayed him in the face with mace.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
I've seen an old man knocked to the ground with a riot shield.
Yeah.
Did you see the Australian film crew?
No.
There was an Australian, I think it was in Dallas. It was an Australian film crew that was just like for an Australian news network where it's just like, you know, you had a reporter and a camera guy. The camera guy was just like, he was in a corner. He was out of the way. Like, you know, he was just getting footage of it. Cop walks by, bashes him in the stomach with the riot shield, and then punches him in the face and throws his camera to the ground.
Yeah, there's a lot of abuse being played out live in front of everybody. But I do feel bad for the military personnel and the police officers that are out there trying to keep the peace, that are lumped in together with those people that are doing stuff like that, because they're doing their job, and a lot of them don't agree with what they're having to do, but they're doing it because they're serving their duty. So I do feel for them. I also feel for all the good cops in the world that are lumped together with these monsters, because there absolutely are good cops in the world. There absolutely is. I hate the thought that all cops are blamed for what these cops did. There is definitely a problem. Cops need to speak out about it. These people need to go to jail. But there are a lot of people out there that are defending us every single day, that love their community, that love the people there. So I'm going to say my heart goes out to them too.
Yeah, definitely. Because it goes to the same side as like the protesters. Because I keep seeing this and I absolutely agree with it. Like, you can't keep talking about how, you know, like, a few bad cops don't make everybody bad, and then you talk about the rioters and the looters versus the protesters.
Right. It's not a black and white issue. Yeah. It's not a black and white issue.
It's a morality issue.
You can't say that every single person protesting is some rioting, looting, like, thug taking advantage of a situation, and also say, like, you know, like, there's only a few bad cops, they don't represent the whole. Like, it's both.
Right.
Like, there's a disproportionate number of bad cops that need to be dealt with, and there's a lot of, like, you know, bad actors going on in these protests.
So I've said this before to people, and I'll say it again. The police should be held to a higher standard than an average citizen.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
The police should absolutely be held to a higher standard than the average citizen. This is what they do for a living. So we absolutely, and the same thing for government officials, same thing for anyone that is in power or that has power, they have to be held to a higher standard than someone who's just trying to survive, even if those people are being awful. And they should also be held accountable for it. We need to hold them accountable. And we need to hold our president to a higher fucking standard than a TV host like Joe Scarborough. That Man is child. Absolutely insane.
Yeah, having him beat the crap out of people so he could go take a really weird picture in front of a church that he apparently hasn't been to in over a year.
And he held the Bible upside down and he didn't say anything.
Oh my god.
Fucking joke. All right, we got to cut it off. We got to stop talking about it. I promised we would have some happy stuff here on the show. And goddamn it, we're going to stick to that. I think we've raged for 40 minutes enough. I'm actually pretty proud of us. At no point.
Has it really been 40 minutes?
It's been 40 minutes. Yeah. And at no point did we turn into just babbling cursing.
It's true.
So I'm proud of us tonight. Joining us now on the show, here is a late addition, our very own, the man himself, Tanner Calvert. Tanner, are you there?
Holla, holla, holla.
Hi, Tanner.
Tanner, you missed it.
Did I?
It was fun.
It was not.
I don't have the mental capacity. The mental...
Fortitude?
Well, not capacity. The mental stability to handle anything right now like that, so...
Oh, don't be talking to me about mental stability. I haven't been mentally stable for a very long time, but I get it. Not everyone... See, I think once you hit a certain point of mental instability, it's kind of like Fry in that episode where he drinks the 100th cup of coffee.
He's That's good to me. Go.
Yeah, I've hit that point where I'm just like, everything's moving in slow motion, and even though the world is a dumpster fire, I feel like I'm coping with it pretty well. Tanner, we wish your wife a happy birthday earlier.
No, thank you.
Just wanted to point that out.
I'm sure she appreciated it.
Does she listen to the show?
Occasionally if I'm on.
Will she listen to this show?
Possibly.
Well, if you did listen to the show and you heard our happy birthday wish, Whoa! Email us. That was a Freudian slip.
Sure it was.
It was a straight up Freudian slip. Don't fuck with me today.
Don't F with me,
Don't F with me, Lindsay.
Was that a happy bitch? What the fuck?
No, that's not what I said.
That's definitely what you almost said.
Oh, my God. Oh. Now I'm being pushed too far.
For the record, Tanner, I don't think anybody here thinks that of your wife, Tanner.
No, not a single person.
She's a lovely woman.
She is the best of all of us.
I've only talked to her once, and it was very pleasant.
So Lindsay had an idea for the fun part of the show. And Lindsay, do you want to tell us what that idea is?
Okay. So
Tanner can get it done really quick.
Gotcha. So our group has a tendency to quote things randomly a lot, whether it makes sense or not.
Yes.
So tonight's list is our top 5 TV shows / movies that we like to randomly quote at any given time.
Furta.
Rama.
I did yours, you did mine.
I know. Well, to be fair, I don't ever say Furta.
Furta.
That's my least favorite quote from Letterkenny.
Oh, man, like the hockey players really grew on me, though.
They did.
All right, Tanner, we're going to start with you. What is your favorite quote from Letterkenny?
Allegedly.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it is.
And see, Shannon, you don't even get the context of the allegedly.
I don't. I find it funny because I had been using allegedly for a long time. And
Jesse,
then,
let's hit him with it. You ready?
What are we doing the allegedly for? Are we actually going to talk about fucking
the ginger fucked an ostrich?
So yeah,
Maria, it's something about an ostrich.
Yeah. So Tanner, say it again.
She's laughing.
Apparently the ginger fucked an ostrich.
Allegedly.
And then they did the quote. So,
I also like allegedly a lot.
That actually ties into a real thing that happened to someone I know. I know a guy that fucked a pig.
Oh, God.
Allegedly.
You are from allegedly. The deep south.
Yeah, the deep south. Fuck, don't ever let me do that again.
No, please don't.
That was Little Nicky.
I like that movie.
I don't like that movie, but I...
It's a good movie. Fuck y'all.
It's like, that as was... Adam Sandler did more movies, his dialect got more and more...
obnoxious?
Stupid, yeah. Although, speaking of movies that I quote quite a bit, I do quote both Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison. Both of those movies.
Today, Junior!
Stop looking at me, Swan.
Shampoo is better!
Conditioner is better! I go on the hair
really fool.
I'm not comfortable. Like, I love Adam Sandler, but not this.
Oh.
Wait, what?
Oh.
Back up. Hold on.
I see what's going on. So sorry to interrupt. All right,
this is way worse than Predator. You telling me that you love Adam Sandler, but you don't like Happy Gilmore or Billy Madison?
It's his best two movies.
I heard Little Nicky references, and you guys just cut out.
Okay, we'll forgive you.
Thank God.
I was about to drive to bumfuck Illinois and slap you upside the fucking redneck head.
And I was going to follow him singing the new rap song, Kimball's Upside Your Head. I said, Kimball's Upside Your Head. Say what?
Tanner, I'm sorry, the rage is calming down now. Like, yeah, it's okay, I was buddy. Starting to see red.
All right, so let's throw it to Lindsay. Lindsay, since this was your topic, Tanner, we won't count the letter Kenny unless you wanted to. We'll go to Lindsay first. Lindsay, tell us something that you quote way too much.
I mean, anymore, I don't do a ton of it, but I'll go with Catbug from Bravest Warriors. Why would you do that?
You did. I'm pretty sure you have a Catbug blanket on
right
now.
I have my that says throw palm a little blanket and throw a blanket over it.
Yeah.
My favorite quote from Catbug was a kitchen wench bring me my big old beer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Where's my big old beer?
Where's my big old beer? Out the airlock.
Out the airlock.
I like Catbug.
Don't make me return you to wenches and things.
It's even funnier when you think that it's a little-ass kid saying these things.
Yeah.
Now, he was also...
makes it funny.
You're our friend now. We're having tacos tonight.
We didn't do it. Yeah. He was also in the ASDF movies.
He was the little muffin that wanted
muffin.
To die.
Yeah, he wanted to die all the time. Jesse, let's swing it over to you. What's something you quote way too much?
See, I feel like, Shannon, that yours and mine are all going to be very similar.
Yeah, that's why I'm letting you go first, so that way I can...
Because our top three are probably the same.
I have no doubt about that.
So I'm going to go with a different one here real quick.
Okay.
Parks and Rec.
Okay, yeah, that's probably not on my list.
Yeah, I figured that one wouldn't be.
Yeah.
That's one that I end up quoting a lot. Fair Enough. Originated in Parks and Rec.
Fair enough.
Yep. And then I also just like saying treat yourself a whole lot. And there's a bunch of other ones too, because I love that show.
Well, I'm going to start off with something that I don't think is on anybody else's list. And mine is going to be Mr. Show with Bob and David. Because I don't come down to where you work and slap the dick out of your mouth.
Kiss the pan.
Kiss the pan. Don't ever trust British people, Jesse. Only British people can fly. Most people don't know Mr. Show with Bob and David because they were watching cartoons during that era while I was watching HBO.
Oh, yeah,
because
you're old as shit.
Red
I mean...
I'm old. I mean, as a human and as a soul, I am old as shit. Just so everybody... If everybody's curious, my birthday is August 3rd. If you want to get me gifts, I will be turning 64 this year.
Don't listen to him. He's not turning 64.
He's not. It's 85. It's the big one. For Podzilla 1985.
Why do you think it's called 1985? Because this year I'll be turning 85. So yeah, Mr. Show of Bob and David, definitely one for me. Tanner, let's go to you.
Let's see. I'm going to go with...
We're going to count the letter Kenny, too, because I can't think of anything Tanner quotes more than letter Kenny.
Oh, yeah, I mean, like, if he didn't take letter Kenny, I would have.
Where are the white women at?
Blazing Saddles.
Cut that shit out. Here comes Mongo.
I don't know, Tanner, if you said Blazing Saddles or not, because that cut out for me.
Yeah, all I heard is where the white women are. Yeah,
exactly.
No, I just quoted it.
Okay. Yeah, I quote the shit out of Blazing Saddles. But, that actually, hold on, that Blazing Saddles is the only reason, I think, that John Massey and I were able to work long shifts with each other. Because we very quickly, like, we were very different men.
But Tanner, you gotta hit the beginning part, because the beginning part is what makes it super funny. When Gene Wilder goes, "Oh, boys, look what I got here."
Where the white women at?
Because that's how they steal the KKK uniforms.
They do.
Everybody needs to watch Blazing Saddles because it's real.
Jesus
good.
Christ.
That's such a good fucking movie.
Are we awake?
That depends. Are we black?
We are.
Then we're awake and very confused. We are very
confused.
All right, Lindsay, back to you.
Well, I quoted it earlier already, but Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Yeah.
Don't F with me, Er.
I don't need no instructions, know how to rock.
There ain't no point if there are no gummy bears at the other end.
Do you don't think they're dicking around, do you? No, they're professional dick hunters, as we all are. They crave dick.
I'm sure you've had a phone call, but I get many.
Aqua Teen is infinitely quotable. And pretty much any Adult Swim show, C-Lab, Aqua Teen, Harvey Birdman, I mean, all of those shows
are so quotable. There's a lot of them that's pretty good quotes.
Yeah, I agree. Jesse, let's go over to you.
All right, my next one, I'll probably go with Scrubs. I don't quote it so much anymore, but there used to be a lot of stuff that I would hit from there. Ace and I still occasionally sing Guy Love to each other. And Trevor Camp and I did before that, because that was a show that he and I watched a whole lot in college. Trevor and I also used to do the jambalaya bit to kind of like change the subject of something. Or it's just like, you know, you'd say something, it's like, the fuck did you just say jambalaya?
I do not know that one. That is a new one.
That was, in Scrubs, that was, Dr. Kelso was trying to ask him a question he was uncomfortable about. And so JD invites him over to his home so he can make homemade jambalaya. Then Kelso is like, well, it would be nice to get Enid out of the house. JD responds with, or JD realizes, oh no, I might have to actually make jambalaya for Kelso and his wife. Changes the subject back, gets uncomfortable, and just yells jambalaya at him.
from my next one, I'm pretty sure I'm going to pick one of your top three, Jesse.
Okay, what you got?
King of the Hill.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
King of the Hill.
I don't know if there's
that's
anything.
That's my purse. I don't know you.
I don't know if there's anything we quote sand. More than King of the Hill. But what if somebody asked for well done?
Oh, we asked them politely ask yet them firmly to leave. I also like Twig Boy a whole lot.
Look at them little arms. I smoked them little arms.
Alabaster.
Alabaster. Oh, this show is so good and extremely quotable.
And it holds up so well.
Absolutely. I still watch that show on the regular.
I'm the teacher. I'm done learning.
Ace's hatred for Peggy Hill is unrivaled, honestly.
Oh, man. The day that he found out that the voice actress for Peggy Hill was in Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
He was
Captain
so
and Jimmy.
Upset.
And Sister Act.
Yeah.
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 They keep saying they're going to bring that show back, but I haven't heard anything about it.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about it in a while, because they said it was definitely going to happen, but yeah, that was
it needs to happen. The world needs King of the Hill. Tanner, let's go to you.
Oh. I'm sitting here thinking, like, what do I quote? Here lately, the only thing I've been quoting is that fucking, oh shit, what's the name of that video?
The Family Feud quote.
Yeah.
Oh my
Jesus
God.
Jesus Christ. That's lick himself.
Fart.
There it is.
He got it out of him.
It doesn't take much, I promise.
Hit the button.
I'm super easy.
Oh,
that's what
I don't have a button for that yet, Shannon.
Well,
so I'm gonna go with. Oh God.
I think that was a good pick, Tanner, because I'm gonna go there.
Say,
we can count that as a TV show. It's Family Feud.
Sure.
It's yeah, fine.
Oh, I'm just laughing thinking about it.
Okay?
Oh my God,
he is
that is
so red
legitimately
right now.
One of the funniest things, and I don't know if there's anything we quote more currently than that fucking skit. If you want to know what it is, go to the YouTubes or Googles and look up Steve Harvey doesn't want to host Family Feud no more. Or it's also called Steve Harvey Existential Crisis, stuff yeah. like that. It is so fucking funny.
It's real good. It's real good.
It's good gas, Steve. It's
real good.
Good.
It's real good.
Lindsay!
I don't do it as much anymore. Occasionally I will, but during college, rather than saying, like, okay or anything along those lines, my friends and I would take a line from Elf Princess Rain and say, gotcha, Bagoose.
Oh, she really did.
Oh,
Jesus
God.
Christ, I don't know how many times I got on her ass about that.
No, like, Lindsay regularly, if
gotcha, Bagoose.
Yeah, that's her, that is to her what fair enough is to me.
Like, that's, gotcha, Big Goose.
Yeah, that's just the, you know, like, I don't know what to say to respond to what someone is saying, so I just hit him with a fair enough. Lindsay hits him with the gotcha, Big Goose.
And she actually takes the time out to type it, too.
Yeah,
instead of saying, okay, she says, gotcha, Big Goose.
Yep. She sure
that's
does.
Dedication.
Who else but Lindsay? Jesse.
All right, now time to take another one of that big top three. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yes.
I must have browned out.
Do you think there's a pirate behind that door?
I see a door marked private. Jesse, what we need to do is we need to put our browns together and figure out what happened. Oh, you goddamn bitch.
Oh, you goddamn bitch. Lindsay's a bird.
Oh. And I know someone that has not seen It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and I desperately need to show it to them because easily one of the funniest shows of all time.
Absolutely. It's so good.
Speaking of funniest shows of all time, this is kind of a cheat code because there's so much of it. But Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
Oh, that's not the one I thought you were going to say.
I quote Saturday Night Live daily. I think most of Hunter and I's interactions with each other sometime devolve into just Saturday Night Live quotes against each other. And to be fair, when I come home at night, I watch like the same 30 clips over and over again. And I think that's why people leave me. But...
See this biscotti cookie?
You see this biscotti cookie, Jesse? Uh-huh. Now you know I know Krav Maga.
There's a few Saturday Night Live clips that I really, really like and I watch over and over again.
I'm creating a playlist of the best.
I make everybody watch the Chance the Rapper hockey bit.
Yes.
Even if you don't like hockey, that's just... It might be funnier if you don't like hockey.
Well, there's the sound for the third period. You know what that means.
I do not.
His last name, there are no vowels.
So that's a no.
That's a no. I quote that one all the time. I also, every Christmas, I have to watch Something Claus at least a couple times every Christmas.
Yes.
Well, that's like Halloween. You have to watch David Pumpkins.
See, I love David Pumpkins. I do. But I don't like that near as much as I do Something Claus for Christmas.
Well, Jesse, if you think that I'm not going to watch David Pumpkins this Halloween every day... For 31
like
days, then I'm taking my kids to my sisters.
Colin, did you hear that?
I can hear everything you're saying. All right, Tanner.
Oh, man. I think I'm going to go something with from Robin Hood Men in Tights. I'm trying to think of which one I wanted to use.
A black sheriff?
It worked in Blazing Saddles.
Oh.
I haven't watched that movie so long.
I haven't either.
I think my favorite quote from that movie... will forever be, where did the name Latrine come from?
Well, we used to be Shithouse.
It's a good change.
From now on, all toilets will be referred to as John's.
John's.
I think my favorite quote from that is also the most offensive one, and I apologize if the word offends, but it's the part where Mel Brooks' character meets him for the first time, and he does a little hand motion and goes, Fagalus? No, just Mary.
That's the funny part, really. Like just the
yeah, no, it's Mary. It's the response. Yeah, you can honestly say any Mel Brooks film is just completely quotable.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like yeah,
except Spaceballs.
Spaceballs is still pretty quotable.
That's not entirely true either.
I'm not as big of a fan of Spaceballs, and definitely not Dracula Dead and Loving It.
No, really, like I think the ones that I quote the most are absolutely Robin Hood, Men in Tights, and Blazing Saddles. Those are my two favorites. I like History of the World Part 1, but...
Blazing Saddles for sure.
Is my favorite, hands down.
That's the pinnacle of Mel Brooks comedy, in my opinion, is Blazing Saddles.
I agree.
A lot of people say it's Young Frankenstein, but for me it's Blazing Saddles.
Young Frankenstein is good, but... Eh.
Lindsay.
I mean, I got plenty I can quote from that. Matter of fact, I'll wait on it.
Well, let that marinate, bud.
I'm going to go back to my Adult Swim days and pick up C-Lab with I'm Helping. Mostly the Bizarro episode.
I hate the Bizarros.
I hate the Groovies.
Did you guys ever watch C-Lab?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it back in the day.
Negative.
I was a big fan of it.
Evil Stormy. I'm regular Stormy.
Oh, you bitch. Anyway, what were we saying? C-Lab. Yeah,
C-Lab.
It's a good show. It's a good show. Jesse.
Is this our last one?
I think we have one more.
Yeah, you have this one and then one more.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I won't take what I know will be Shannon's number one. So I'm going to go ahead and nab Futurama, though.
Good call. Just like Fry. Just like Fry.
Just like Fry. Still one of my favorite moments ever, like with Shannon, was when we were talking about the Farnsworth.
I already know. I already know what he's gonna say. And like, hold on, I'm gonna type it into the chat, but I'm gonna wait till he says it. All right, go ahead.
So we worked at GameStop. We were talking about the Farnsworth Paradox episode where there were two benders. We did this at GameStop once where we just, like, I don't know, I think, like, Shannon said, we're doomed, and then both of us simultaneously hit the full bender.
Doomed!
You just helped me with my last one.
Yeah. And we did it in such perfect sync with each other.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was completely, like, we just straight up did the bender bit, and it was perfect.
I think that's what became family.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, there's so much other stuff I quote from Futurama all the time. You know, good news, everybody.
There used to be a lot of mom quotes.
Shove a crap in it, you bastard.
It's been a while.
Oh, there's so many good ones. And then, like, I still just randomly say Pazuzu.
Shut up, baby. I know it.
Yeah, there you go. I'm going to go find my own game of blackjack and hookers. There's so many good ones.
You know what? Forget the blackjack and the hookers. You know, forget the whole thing. Well, Jesse, I'm going to go ahead and go there and pick my number one at number two. It's The Simpsons.
That was the one I didn't want to steal from you.
It's always
Don't
The Simpsons.
Don't ask me. I'm just a girl.
Oh, my God. Just the first 10 to 11 seasons alone is just, yeah. I don't think a day goes by I don't quote The Simpsons. Or even an hour, probably. I'm pretty sure I quote The Simpsons in my sleep.
Yeah, me and Kevin will sit there, like, we just finished playing Call of Duty. We'll end up quoting The Simpsons at least half a dozen times. Playing
Except
Call of
Kevin
Duty.
Can't get the quotes right.
Okay, he's better now. Like, really, there's only the one that he ever fucked up over and over again.
Let's do it real quick. I'll be the bank teller, or I'll be Homer. You be the bank teller.
You want me to do it from the part of Kevin?
Yeah. You be Kevin. I'll be Homer.
All right.
Hello. My name is Mr. Burns.
Well, hello, Mr.
I think you have a package for me.
Hello, Mr. Burns. What's your last name?
I don't know. That's not the quote, Kevin.
The quote is first name. So
it doesn't make any goddamn sense, Kevin.
And in fairness, though, it would be funnier. Like, so that would absolutely be like a Homer thing to respond. Like, he doesn't know Mr. Burns' last name, but the bank teller wouldn't ask it. And that's where the issue becomes. But yeah, no, Kevin accurately quotes them, like, whenever we're playing. We never get to that one. It was just that one quote that Kevin messed up a lot. And for some reason, nobody ever corrected him.
That's because it became the joke. It became funnier than the quote itself was the quote Kevin's version. All right, Tanner, last round, what do you got?
Okay, so I'm definitely going Young Frankenstein. And, man, like, my what knockers always stood out to me.
Rolling the hay.
I've only seen Young Frankenstein one time. I can't quote it. I can't quote it. I've never seen History of the World.
I haven't seen that one either.
Oh, I'm gonna have to fix this.
History of the World. History of the World's real funny.
I've also never seen Pink Floyd's The Wall, and I have the DVD here.
Oh, don't do that.
Hey, what? Hold up.
It's
back up, Tanner.
It's your DVD.
Yeah, it's your copy, Tanner.
Yeah, but.
Pink Floyd's
you don't drink, and you got to watch that while drunk.
That is actually not the way you're supposed to watch it.
They didn't let us do that in college when we had to watch it in animation class.
That's the legalist way to watch it.
There you go.
I know a bartender. I think she can hook me up.
So. I definitely,
does
like,
she look over here?
I want them to legalize pot because I still have never tried it. Like, because I'm paranoid that as soon as I do, like, I'm going to end up getting caught, fired, etc. Long story, whatever.
No, Jesse. Jesse, smoke the pot. It'll make you less paranoid.
Right. So I really want it to get legal so that there's several things that I want to try that I've always kind of enjoyed, but no, will enjoy way more if I'm high.
My brother was fucked up on acid, and he walked in while I was watching Sailor Moon. And one of the transformation sequences, I thought he was going to start foaming at the mouth. He was like, holy shit, I can't watch this. Lindsay, what do you got?
My last one is going to be Invader Zim, specifically Grr, for the most part.
Doom, 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 doom,
doom, doom, doom, doom, doom. I saw a squirrel. It was going like this.
She quotes that every time we see a squirrel.
Whenever,
can I be a mongoose dog?
Whenever I interacted with Lindsay back at GameStop and EB especially, she quoted Invader Zim so frequently.
Oh my god.
She was,
it was
constantly
disgusting.
Talking like Grr.
Yes.
I love Grr.
I love the show, though. Like, so I got a kick out
of
it.
Oh, no, I do, too. So,
well, I know
Jesse,
you do.
Last one.
All right, my last one, I'm going to go with Key and Peele.
Yeah.
I had to go with...
Balake!
Yeah, I had to go with Key and Peele over... I was going to do Chappelle's Show, but I think at this point, I quote Key and Peele more often.
A.A. Ron.
Yeah, you done fucked up, A.A. Ron. I hit that one all
front
the time.
Front hand, back hand!
Yes.
Oh, you actually called her that, though? Yeah.
Crunchy sock.
Yeah, I called
Wait,
her.
You said the word though, right?
Yeah, definitely, man. I looked at her. I looked her right in the eyes, and I said, bitch.
Well, if you're gonna say Key and Peele, I was originally gonna say Ghostbusters, but that's not true. You reminded me. It's probably Chappelle's Show. Wu-Tang.
Wu-Tang. I love Chappelle's Show so much.
Yep. The only problem with Chappelle's Show is a lot of it I can't quote because there are words that I can't say.
Absolutely. Oh. But there's a lot of it you can. It's really good.
You better wrap that shit up, B.
Goodbye, fried rice. Hello, fried chicken.
God damn it.
The racial trap is one of my favorites.
Old Dirty Bastard wanted to say Gouda Gouda Gouda. He also changed his name to Old Dirty Chinese Restaurant.
And then, of course, there's
Rick
James.
Rick James,
bitch!
Oh, my God.
Fuck your couch!
What did the five fingers...
Rich mother...
What did the five fingers say to the face?
Lap!
Unity! All right.
Rich motherfucker, buy a new couch!
Wide nose having motherfuckers!
And now it gets really racist.
Yeah, it quickly gets racist.
Darkness!
Every fucking skit. Oh, there's one. I won't quote the entire thing because it is racist. But did you ever see the one with the?
I mean, the answer is yes.
Racist,
but...
the racist monsters.
Oh, the racist fairies.
No. Racist monsters. It was Chappelle. I think was Chappelle was a werewolf. Charlie Murphy was Frankenstein, and I always call him Ashy Larry because I forget his real name.
I vaguely remember this skit.
I always call him Ashy Larry.
I honestly don't remember this skit.
So basically they're like old Universal monsters, but they're living in current America. And there's a part where Charlie Murphy is Frankenstein and he gets fired from his job because he's a Frankenstein. He's a monster and he does terrible things. And he goes off on this whole like tangent about the reason he's fired is because he's black. And then finally this woman yells at him, and I won't say the word she says, but she says, "Word, you a Frankenstein." And he looks at her and says, "Shut up, slave." And that always fucking cracks me up. Oh my god.
And then the whole Wayne Brady stuff. I was saying that for a while too. Wayne Brady gonna have to choke a bitch?
That's the only line he didn't want to say. I saw a special about that. He said he didn't have a problem saying anything else, but he did not want to say, "Does Wayne Brady gonna have to choke a bitch?" Which is the most iconic fucking line of the show, probably.
Yeah, one of them for sure. Like, especially Wayne Brady's most iconic line from there. Oh.
Nick Cannon.
And then the play of Haters Ball.
Oh. What? I gotta go home and put water. What's that? I gotta go put food in Buck Nasty's mama's dish. She wear underwear with dick holes in them. Oh my god. Well, this has been a good 30 minutes of us just quoting random shit.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this is basically like, so for those of you out there that are curious what our conversations outside the podcast look like, you just got it.
This is it.
Yeah. That was it.
That's pretty much it. We just get together and quote shit to each other
all
the time.
Only whenever somebody makes a Blazing Saddles quote, we end up going a lot longer.
Oh, that's pretty true.
Oh, and I think that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. We got to get out of here. We started hot. We ended cool. That's what we do here on Podzilla 1985. We heat you up, then we cool you off, and then we tuck you into bed and we say goodnight. Give you a little kiss on the forehead. So that's what I'm going to do right now. I want to thank Tanner for joining the show late term. Late term. That's a bad term for that. Tanner, thanks for joining the show. Thanks for inviting yourself.
Yeah, cool. Wait a minute. No, I remember getting a random message saying, "Hey, P PZAD.
Thanks for showing up.
I literally just said PZAD. I didn't put anything else with it, just that. And he knew. It's like the bat signal. It's the Tanner signal. It's just a giant bucket shining into the sky.
Tanner.
Gong. All right. For Tanner. I'm
gonna pay somebody to kill him.
Tanner, thanks for showing up and helping us out. It was a lot of fun. For Lindsay, for Jesse and myself, I want to thank you guys for tuning in. Tomorrow, the legendary group chat happiness podcast for something, probably. I think we're doing another table read. It's going to be a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun last week, and it'll be more random silliness. We won't get heavy on you, I promise. Until then, for everyone here at the show, thank you guys, and please be safe out there. Please exercise your right to protest peacefully. Keep creating change. We're with you 100%. We love you guys so much everywhere, and we'll see you tomorrow night. I'm going to steal this from Hunter. Later.